We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we're recording, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.
This always was and always will be Aboriginal land.
My sleep was so disturbed because of the head noise. So I was having red wine and sleeping pills pretty much every night.
How long for?
Like years.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, I'm never going to be able to be pregnant. Wow. Because I cannot imagine not having a drink. Like, it was debilitating. I would fly for work and take the little red wines off the Qantas flights.
Today, I chat to Dom Alyssa. She's a model and a wellness advocate, and might I add, she's an absolute ray of sunshine, such a kind and loving and warm human being, and I absolutely loved this conversation. Dom entered the modelling industry at the age of 15, and she's truly seen it all. Today, she shares the challenges of staying mentally and physically well in such an image-based industry, and the difficulty in developing a healthy body image when you're always judged on how you look. She touches on the true challenges of modelling, i.e. it's not just trying on nice clothes, it's standing in the snow for 10 hours and demanding producers or even being refused food whilst working. We also discuss women's health and wellness, hormonal health, and learning how to truly nourish your body and feel empowered in your health. Dom reflects on the power of gratitude. This is a habit that has changed her life and the secret to transforming her previously disordered relationship with food. We discuss the keys to building a healthy relationship, and Dom also opens up about how she's navigating the emotional journey of supporting her mother through stage 4 cancer. This one is packed with tangible advice and bucket loads of inspiration. I hope you have a pen and paper ready. Let's get into the chat. On this podcast, we discuss the learnings of life with extraordinary and everyday people, because every human being has a story and every human being knows what it means to be alive. I'm Georgia May and this is Life Chats. Dom, welcome to Life Chats.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. We were just talking about how it's nice for you to finally be interviewed because you're always asking the questions.
Yes, I'm so excited to be on this side of the mic.
I'm excited to chat to you.
Yay.
So a lot of people know you, would recognize your face. You've kind of been the woman of the moment, billboards, buses, e-commerce. In the modeling industry, you've kind of been around for a while, but how did you get into it?
I mean, let's not, you know, let everyone know my age. So I was scouted actually when I was 15 in Bondi by a guy called Richard Manner. And he was the creative director of Tony and Guy. So he was quite a big deal. And his brother was David Manner. And it's quite funny because I was literally just drunk at the beach, like being a young girl, like talking to these people. And he was like, have you ever modeled? And I knew I always wanted to do it. And I said, you know, I haven't, but I'm interested. We exchanged details. The next day we were speaking and he's like, go meet my brother, David. He's an amazing photographer. They actually own Journal Mag. So they're quite a big deal.
Yes.
So I literally didn't tell my parents at 15 and got the train, met this random man in the city. And I was like, this could have gone so badly, but thankfully it didn't. And they wanted to do a test shoot with me. And I was like, I have to tell my parents. My mum was so, so angry at me. But then she had told me that a few years previous, I had to do a June Daly Watkins course, an etiquette course. And they also have a modeling course. I did the etiquette side and you do a runway. And she's like, you were scouted then, but I never wanted you to do it. Wow. But I feel like it keeps coming into your universe. I'm going to let you do it, but I have to come on the shoot. So we did the shoot and it was amazing. Like the photos are so beautiful. And I knew I really loved modeling. And then from there, I signed with my first agency, which was called Milk. And then I went to Platform, but they're both quite small agencies. But I used to leave school and do modeling on the telly for like the morning shows and then come back to school. So it was part of my life from such a young age. And then what happened was Instagram started becoming a thing. And I was posting photos of my outfits and my travels. And then I remember my friends being like, why do you always post photos by yourself? Like, you know what I mean? And yeah. I'm so happy I stuck to it and I did it because then Chic, which is a much bigger agency, they found me on Instagram and I was with them for 8 years. And then I've been with IMG for the last 2 years.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. Something that you just mentioned was that could have gone so badly. Why do you think that you were particularly vulnerable other than you being 15 years old? But why does the modeling industry have that sort of connotation around it?
Well, I think two things. I mean, if my young 15-year-old daughter was going to meet some random 30-year-old man, I'd probably think,
alarm bells.
Could not be good. But I think, yeah, in the industry, it is unfortunate. A lot of girls do get taken advantage of. And I look back on my career and I think about those younger years where maybe a few things did happen that probably weren't right, but nothing too crazy. But it happens a lot and it is quite scary. Mm. You really, as a model at a young age, your self-worth comes from how you look. And you kind of will do anything to make it, to get in the door. So I feel really lucky to be where I am now and to have had such a positive career. I really have had like a few moments in my career that were not great. But apart from that, it's been good.
I feel like there's almost like an overlap. The media industry is very similar where you've got these sometimes mostly men in positions of power and really young, ambitious women who are trying to kind of get into those roles. And as we all know, like there is a bit of a power play. So I feel like there'd be so many young creative models out there who know they want to make it, but they're surrounded maybe sometimes by not the best people or people who don't have their best interest in heart, at their heart. I guess for you, did you have mentors? Did you have people guiding you? How did you know how to navigate the industry?
I mean, I look back and I think I was really lucky to have been more of a commercial model. Mm-hmm. That played a role. When I first got signed, I thought I need to be super skinny. I always say that there wasn't a big positive influence on social media. It was still like the old modeling ethos. And I would think back to Kate Moss and she would say, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. Like those sort of things were in my head. Mm. And I remember becoming a model and depleting myself, overtraining, not nourishing my body or my mind. And my agency, Chic, had to call me in and a client had called up and said, that Dom needs to put on weight. We can't book her.
Wow.
And so that was a real penny drop moment for me. And I was really grateful to have had an agency who was looking out for me, but it's only because I was working. Mm. So I was making them money. So they needed to make sure I could still make their money. But I think about girls who aren't at top of mind and they might blame their lack of worth and lack of work for not being small enough because that's what you think in your head when you don't get booked and you go to a casting and you don't get it, I wasn't good enough. Mm. And I was really lucky to have an agency who helped me and also to have such a positive family influence. I mean, food's been such a big part of my upbringing. I'm Egyptian Hungarian. It's like, I remember every time I go to my grandma, you don't eat enough, you know? So I've always had a really positive influence. And a lot of my friends are not in the industry. I think that helped a lot. Mm. So when I left work and I was with my friends, we weren't always talking about work and what we're eating and exercising. We'd just be talking about what young girls talk about. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like, obviously, because your agency said you can't book work right now, you need to put on weight, that kind of flicked the switch for you. But do you feel like you thought you had an issue at the time? Did you feel like your relationship with your body was fractured?
Yeah, so I remember from honestly year six, primary school, I got my period quite early. I remember getting it in year six, at the end of year six. But I remember throwing out my lunch then. Mm. So it was kind of always there. I'm not sure where it came from, but again, it was like those influence, like the music videos and things like
you're conditioned.
You're conditioned as a woman. Mm-hmm. And I remember then in about year 10 of high school, all the girls were talking to the counselor at the school, telling her that I needed help. And then the counselor called my mom. And in my head, I just thought, no one understands what it's like to be a model. Mm-hmm. You don't understand. So that's why when the agency told me, that was that real like, aha, oh my God. I remember getting my blood test done as well at that age and they came back as malnourished. I shouldn't be malnourished. I'm in a first world country. Mm-hmm. So there was there was things that kept happening. So yeah, that was that moment.
That must have been really hard though, because as you said, you started in year six, your body image was taking its toll and you were, your behaviours were changing. And then this is how many years later when Sheik mentions it. Mm. That's like a decade of behaviour. How do you change that?
Well, it's so funny you bring this up because I feel like I'm paying the price now.
Right.
I think that's such an important message that a lot of people can go on their teens and their 20s not looking after themselves, but it will catch up on you. No one can do these things to their body and not get away with it. So I've recently gone off the birth control pill and my naturopath's like, your body's not absorbing nutrients and all these things. And I truly believe it's from decades of not looking after myself. And it breaks my heart. Like last Thursday, I was literally in tears crying because I've been so healthy for the last, you know, 5 years. But that decade of just malnourishment, over-exercising, working off adrenals, like it catches up on you. So I guess like changing mindset of my body is sending me signals that something is not right, that is a blessing. Like I feel so lucky, like I've had to work on it, especially over the last week, but my body is telling me that something's not right. I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to take the supplements. I'm going to relax, stop being so stressed. Yeah. And even in a week, I'm feeling such a difference.
Amazing. And it will, your body will eventually heal, but it can feel so disheartening and disempowering when you're in that healing phase. You're like, I try everything. I do everything because I have a different journey, but from working in corporate for like 10 years, being so extremely stressed to then stepping out of that world and trying to heal my nervous system and realizing that for probably 10 years, I've been undersleeping, undereating, not exercising, having zero protein because I was vegan and like just didn't eat protein. I didn't know I had to. No education around these things. And then realizing same thing, I try so hard, but my body's hasn't quite caught up yet. It's like, no, I need a bit more care or I need a bit more support. And I think it'll get there. It just takes time.
I've got these affirmation cards and a lot of them are about like healing takes time and like a butterfly starts off as a moth and like all these little things. And it's like, we will come out the other end stronger. And you know, in our 40s and our 50s and our 60s, we're going to be so happy we did the work now.
Totally. Something you just mentioned as well was you've come off the pill. I feel like this is so common for so many women. We get put on birth control. I was put on birth control when I wasn't even sexually active. So like, I don't even know why that was prescribed to me. But then coming off that 10 years later and you have to start to heal your hormones and your skin and all these things, what has your experience been like?
It's a journey, to say the least. The first 3 months I felt amazing and I thought, I got away symptom free. Yeah. All my healthy living has paid off. It was really, it's so funny. I was on Kayla Itzina's podcast and she goes, Dom, it's at the 6 month mark. And I was like, nah, I'll be fine. And truly it's at the 6 month mark. So I did get my period back, which I'm so happy. It took 4 months, but you know, some people don't get it back for years. And now I'm working with a naturopath to heal and reseal my gut and to help my body absorb nutrients. Because when you're on the pill, your body cannot absorb nutrients. Your body is depleted of its Bs, its zinc, its omega-3s. And I'm someone who was having those in my diet. I love oysters. I love salmon. Yeah. You know, I was doing all the right things. But now I'm just really focused on protein. Another thing that's super important. When you're on the pill, you're flatlining. So you're almost on a circadian rhythm. Your infradian rhythm is gone. Mm-hmm. And you're not working with your cycle to be your best self. But one thing that I've noticed that's so important is eating breakfast within the first hour of waking. And I think women are so scared to eat. They're so scared to eat. You have a matcha, your coffee.
Intermittent fast.
And as a woman, like on the other side, I just really, one big part of my message is to encourage women to really have a protein-rich breakfast because it will help your hormones. You wake up in the morning, your cortisol is high and it keeps rising. So by having breakfast, you're alleviating that cortisol, but you're also helping your body. If you go train, you're going to work fast. You're going to work harder at the gym. There's so many benefits. So the things that I've noticed now symptom-wise is getting a bit of acne on my chin and jaw, working really hard with my facialist Solstice Skin, regular LEDs. I'm on a histamine diet as well, which is quite restrictive, but I know it's short term. it's so funny because a few years ago, if I would have said I'm eating like chicken or mincemeat for breakfast, I would have said that is so gross. But I wake up at 5 a.m. I'm having mincemeat. Like I had mincemeat for breakfast 5:30 a.m. I have to because I have to have my supplements.
And your protein in your diet as well. And you probably noticed such a difference.
Oh my God, my energy is amazing. And I'm not here advocating a carnivore diet at all. It's quite dangerous for women to do long term. But right now on the diet that I'm on for my histamine and for my inflammation, it's carnivore with some carbs and a few vegetables.
Yeah.
But it's quite limiting. It's not forever. I'm going to New York on Friday. Like I'm not sticking to the diet.
You'll be eating the fries.
Yeah, like I'll be going for it. But even little things that we can do. Our endocrine system as women is completely ruined because we're drinking from plastic, we're spraying perfume, all the stuff we're putting on our face, and just using a keep cup when you go get a matcha, drinking out of the hot plastic heals me. Like, yeah, and we're terrible. All doing it. And I actually was talking to the naturopath at a little wellness store in Bondi. And she goes, I see all these women walking around with their coffees in the morning and I think none of them have had breakfast yet. True. And they're all drinking from a hot plastic lid. And I'm like, we've just gone so backwards. We've gone so backwards and our hormone health is, it's not loving us for it.
The other difficult thing I find is I listen to so many podcasts and read so many books and I'm trying to like educate myself because we honestly don't get this education growing up, but a lot of the science and the education is around men's bodies. So it's like intermittent fasting is amazing or ice bathing is amazing and they are amazing, but like how can we work with our cycle to introduce those tools so that they don't have the opposite effect and raise our cortisol and stress us out? Because it's crazy. I spoke to a friend who was doing ice baths like 3 times a week, saunas multiple times a week, and was really struggling to fall pregnant. Obviously, this is a whole other topic, but she went to her doctor and her doctor was like, you are way too stressed. Your body is not in the space to hold a baby. You need to cut out the ice baths, cut out the saunas. And she's now pregnant. But
pretty
amazing how we don't yet have the science for women's bodies.
There is a lot coming out now for biohacking for women.
Yep.
As you know, we have an infradian rhythm. Yep. So we have a 28 day where we have the four parts of our cycle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that follicular and ovulation phase, do those saunas, do those ice baths, do that HIIT workout if you want to. But understand that when you're in your luteal and you're menstruating, don't feel guilty if you can't go hard at the gym, like don't put that stress on your body. And I think it's amazing. We're seeing so many weight loss journeys of women who aren't doing the crazy HIIT style workouts. They're just doing the walking. They're just doing the Pilates. They're eating breakfast. They're not restricting. If I was on a wellness journey, I know which route I would want to take.
Exactly.
I want to go for a walk with my friends and enjoy a beautiful meal, not restrict myself and constantly be thinking about food.
Totally. I can tell how passionate you are about
this. Oh my God, I'm so passionate.
It's amazing because I think a lot of people assume like they see you at face value that you're an incredibly successful model, but they don't realize that you're doing so much work in the wellness space as well. So tell me about that. I think a lot of people assume that modeling is literally putting on some nice clothes, standing in front of a camera, posing, and then you're done. How is that wrong in so many ways?
Well, I wanted to say as well, wellness and modeling do come hand in hand. I think a lot of successful models, you think about Giselle and others, you have to be fit. Like modeling is exhausting. There's so many hard parts about it. Often you're cold. Often you're on your feet for 10 hours, constantly changing. Like you need to be quite fit to do it. And I think that's what's given me longevity in my space. I think a lot of makeup artists and stuff, when I've never worked with them, oh, we've heard about you because I give 120% on set, no matter what the job, like, let's do it. Let's get it done. Like I bring the energy and that's super important on set, but modeling is not easy. And I'm so grateful my partner was a model because he gets it. When I come home from a long day, he's not like, oh, you just have to be pretty all day. I'm like, that was exhausting. I've had the wind. I've had all this makeup on me. My hair's getting fried because I constantly are tonguing it. And I think as well, one thing that is tough about modeling, and especially now that I'm going through hormonal changes and getting some pimples, is there is this pressure to be perfect every time you go on set. And there's this pressure to have no blemishes. That's the one thing I find in the beauty space. We've seen a lot of diversity with body shapes, a lot of diversity with your skin color and where you're from and heritage, which is incredible. But there hasn't been much diversity in skin textures. I mean, rosacea, acne. We know so many girls who are doing the right thing and they suffer with that. And then not to see it in the beauty space, you kind of feel unheard. You kind of feel unseen. So for me, that's a tough thing. Like I was crying last week about to my boyfriend because even just getting a few pimples, I'm like,
my career's over.
Yeah. And I know that that is not a massive deal. I know there is so many worse things going on. But my job depends on how I look like on the exterior. Mm-hmm. And that is a hard pill to swallow, especially at 29. I mean, it's tough. I'm aging now and things are changing in my body. I mean, just accepting that your body is changing is a huge thing. And yeah, I really want to see more diversity in that space. I think as well, we've seen a lot more older age models in the industry. It's been incredible. Fashion Week was amazing seeing that. Mm-hmm.
What do you think? You just mentioned perfectionism. Where do you think that comes from? Are you putting pressure on yourself to be perfect because you have high standards and you want to be the best that you can be? Or does it come from, as you just mentioned, the lack of visibility around what might be more realistic, what bodies actually look like? Is it both?
I think it is both. I am definitely my hardest critic and I'm working so hard. It's an everyday journey. Mm-hmm. But the industry as well, like I was on set 2 weeks ago and the makeup artist was just said like straight out, your skin's not as good as it usually is. Like straight out. And I was there looking at myself, like you're looking in the mirror all day. It's taking photos of your face. Like, and that was so hard because then for 8 hours, I have to be like smiling and, you know, positive. And
thinking about what she said.
Yeah. And I'm like, is everyone thinking this? And, you know, makeup and editing, all amazing. Like you can fix it. But I feel like there needs to be more diversity in this space because going through the hormonal changes, every time I want to walk, I'm just noticing more and more of like different skin conditions. And I would say like 70% of women are suffering with it to some degree. And we need to show it in the advertising.
I actually noticed this on my walk in Bondi the other day with my boyfriend. And he was like, a lot of women have acne, don't they? And he didn't mean it in a rude way. He was just like, so many women have acne. And I was like, yeah, because most of us at this age now in your mid to late 20s, you've come off the pill. So you're navigating potentially all these hormonal issues that you had prior to going on the pill, but there were no ways to support your body. So it's interesting that we're kind of becoming more educated and aware of that. But yeah, our media needs to change as well.
Definitely.
You mentioned before some maybe being on set and producers saying things that are a bit harsh. What are more of like the horror stories of the industry? Because I'm sure they exist. Have there been any moments that kind of stick with you and you think like, wow, that should not have happened or that's not okay?
Yeah, I mean, nothing where like anything like they're going to go on the, what's that list called?
Like the worst, most unethical brand.
Yeah. But more so like I've done jobs where the weather has been so bad. Mm. I went to New Zealand a few months ago and it was not meant to be that cold, but it was. It snowed.
Wow.
Like out of the blue, it snowed. Instead of them getting a studio and, you know, organizing a wet weather option, they made me go out in high heels in the snow. Like I could have got hypothermia. Yeah. Like it was crazy. And as I said, I bring 120% every shoot I do. So I did it. And I just remember thinking, I cannot do this again. Like that was soul sucking. Like I feel like there was no empathy. The stylist actually fainted.
Wow.
It was so cold. And because we were up on a mountain, there was no like proper food. They make us like just eat as you go. And it's like we're shooting an 8-hour day. It was literally 1 degree.
That's not okay.
In high heels. Like there needs to be breaks. There needs to be like a level of empathy. Mm. I think sometimes because these brands have budgets and they need to get these looks done. But what about the human actually? They're like, you know, suffering.
What is the self-care that like if you go on to an 8 or 10 hour day shoot now, what are the things that you're like, this has to be in place for me to be my best?
Well, I think when I'm in Oz, like when I'm on home turf, always prepare my own food, always bring a water bottle. I always do my meditation, my gratitude before. But I mean, a lunch break should always be, you know, it should be. It's a given. And yeah, I feel like just having a good lunch break, maybe even just getting like a hot drink in the morning is like a really nice way to start the day. But we don't ask for much.
A quick break from the episode to speak about our reviews. Now, Life Chats has recently hit over 30,000 listens, which is honestly incredible. So exciting. But we only have 18 reviews on Apple Podcasts, which is a bit sad. So it would mean the world if you could just take 1 minute out of your day to leave a written review for us, either on Apple or Spotify. There is truly so much time and care and effort that goes into these episodes. I research, edit, host, distribute, do everything all by myself. And I don't make any money from this show. I do it because the stories deserve to be heard and I truly love it. So if you could do that review, that would mean the world. You can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Life Chats Podcast if you don't already. The goal is to build a bigger community so I can continue producing these inspiring conversations. Thanks so much for being here. Back to the episode. Something that we didn't touch on before in detail is how you healed your relationship with food. I know that you mentioned you became more educated around protein and the different sort of food types you could eat. When it comes to the more emotional side of things, how have you gone about healing your relationship with your body?
Yeah, so I mean, I talk about gratitude all the time, but it's been the single most effective tool in my entire life when it comes to my relationship with food. Some of the prompts like I will let go of and today I'm grateful for, they really help you hone into what really matters. Mm. And it's a daily practice that you need to remind yourself, but yeah, I suffered with really bad body dysmorphia and insomnia when I was young and into my early 20s. And my best friend said, why don't you try doing journaling? I thought, I'm so far gone. Like, this is not going to help. This is woo-woo shit. Like, I was not into it.
Did you think you're so far gone? Like, what did it look
like? I thought I need medication. Like, yeah. This is all the time when my agency said, like, we're taking you off work. My whole identity was linked to me being a model and that was taken away from me. Like the anxiety, the head noise, and being told to put on weight just as damaging from someone who's always restricted. So I tried the journaling and it's not like my whole life changed after one session, but I felt this tiny shift. And that tiny shift led me to keep going. And over time, it just allowed me to write down my thoughts and see that they weren't as bad as I thought. Like, you know, when you think in your head,
into a spiral.
But when you write it down on paper, you're like, oh, no, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, don't need to overthink that. And that really helped me change my relationship with food, is seeing food as nourishment, seeing movement as a blessing. I think a pinnacle moment as well was my mom getting sick 4 years ago and that whole journey. It's like your health is your wealth. It's so cliche. We hear it all the time, but it truly is. Without your health, you have nothing. And yeah, okay, I wanted to restrict myself to book certain jobs and do certain things. But if you're not healthy, you're not even going to be here to enjoy the fruit of your labor.
I think it's Jimmy Carr. He asks like a guest on a podcast, how much money, if you were, you know, 80 years old and really sick, how much money would you trade to be back the age that you are right now? And the person's like, everything I have, or like, there's no amount of money I wouldn't trade. And he's like, well, then the state you're in right now is invaluable. You're literally living your healthiest, best self. And in your future, you're going to want to be back here. So you have to enjoy it and be grateful, like you said.
Yeah. I love that. That's a really good quote.
Do you still struggle with that from time to time? I imagine stress or certain things in life can be triggers. Do you feel like there are times where you have to be really disciplined with your mind to not slip back into behaviors that you've struggled with?
Yeah, I definitely do. I think even now how I was saying I'm on this histamine diet, it's like another form of restriction and it's like how I go about that. It's because, you know, I can't have chocolate. I can't have these things that allowed me to feel super balanced. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely does. And I think as well, if I have like a swimsuit or something on like that, I try not to get in my head, but I think any woman would be lying if they said, you're going to be in a swimsuit on a billboard. Yeah, you might like change your eating habits, but it's learning that it's doing it in a healthy way rather than restricting, rather than not eating. It's like, I want to feel my best for this shoot. I want to feel strong for this shoot. I want to eat foods that don't bloat me. It's like, I think it's really important to notice that. I think sometimes in the industry, we've gone a little bit far gone where people aren't looking after themselves because self-love. But to me, self-love is looking after yourself. Like your body is your temple. So I think I would be lying to say it never hits me. But doing that morning and evening gratitude, meditation, like even just going away with no phone with my boyfriend and no mirror, you don't even like think about these things. And you're like, this is when you're your happiest. And I think writing it down is so important because when you're your happiest, what made you happy? sharing a beautiful meal with your partner. Mm-hmm. No one's ever going to say what Kate Moss said, you know, feeling your happiest is like running around in a field with my dog. Like
exactly.
These things bring me joy. And it's just remembering that and not letting my identity sit with how I look.
That must be so challenging. Like you are so disciplined and you have the tools, but yeah, you're in an industry where your worth is like tied to how you look. Obviously, oh. It's so much more than a model, but in terms of booking jobs, it 100%. Is tied. So how else do you define your self-worth?
So I have to say purpose is huge. The whole creating a podcast and creating a journal and having self-dom has been the best thing I've ever done in my entire life. Creating a community and feeling so much purpose that I'm helping others. So I'd say my mission statement is to inspire others to live a healthy and fulfilling life. You know, amazing. So when I'm questioning a job, or does that serve my purpose? Mm. And yeah, that's been the best thing. I did a purpose course 2 years ago through my boyfriend teaches it, but it was through his teacher. And it just really helped me.
What
it
did really you clarify around your purpose?
You look at the characteristics that define you. You look at your gifts. Mm-hmm. You look at the vehicle you're going to use to spread your gifts. You go through like 6 or 8 different categories. Mm-hmm. And yeah, finding my purpose was really life-changing and letting go of what other people think. I'm sure you understand when you start a podcast, no one listens to your first episode, but you have to start.
Yeah.
The Jay Shetty's of the world, they put a first episode up. So you have to just start, and every week it gets easier, more natural. Mm. And even this morning, I have my self-dom walk club.
Yeah, I
and
saw we, with yeah, the matches.
So we all went and got matcha.
I'll have just, to come to the next one.
Yeah, it's just such a beautiful way to connect community. Yeah. No one gives a shit what you look like. No one says, I'm not going to be your friend because you have a pimple.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be your friend because you're bloated. That's not how it works in the real world. So I think getting out of my head and putting like different hats on depending on what I'm doing. So if I'm modeling, different hat to when I'm in my self-dom coaching hat. So that's
true.
Given me a lot of self-worth having that apart from my appearance, having, okay, I'm helping people. And the messages impact. I receive, impact. The messages, oh my God, like literally I get voice messages, mm-hmm. people being, I love your podcast, it's helping me. Or I've started gratitude, I'm seeing such a shift.
Amazing.
Like that makes it so worthwhile.
People just want to know that they have someone who sees and hears them, and also that's potentially navigated the same journey as them or is trying to find themselves as well. And it's like, okay, there's someone like me that I can also look up to and follow what's working for them. I love that you do those walks. I think it's so powerful.
I think what came to mind as well when you were speaking is when I did my purpose course and finding that self-worth, a lot of the course made me realize that it's about sharing your vulnerable moments. Mm. I was hiding all the shit to everyone. Like, I think people have seen me as like a Fitspo girl for a long time, but I know deep down I wasn't. I wasn't healthy in those years. So it's a being vulnerable and sharing your story. That's what connects people. And Brené Brown talks about this in The Call to Courage on that Netflix show. It's like your vulnerability is courage. And when I realized that, that's why I said when we sat down, I'm an open book. Like literally ask me anything. Because I know it will help people.
On that note then, I guess what is a time that comes to mind of, you know, a time in your life where you felt like you were really struggling. You didn't really feel like there was hope or there was light or there was progress to work towards. I know that people who have a disordered relationship with their body, it can feel very dark at times. I guess, is there any other times that come to mind of you feeling very stuck and feeling like there was no way out?
Well, yeah, because my sleep was so disturbed because of the head noise. So I was having red wine and sleeping pills pretty much every night.
How long for?
Like years.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, I'm never going to be able to be pregnant.
Wow.
Because I cannot imagine not having a drink. Like it was debilitating. I would fly for work and take the little red wines off the Qantas flights. Like I really wanted to get better and I tried so hard, but I just couldn't switch off my mind. Like I could not. It was debilitating for me. So yeah, the journaling mixed in with COVID, to be honest. Like
the stress of not working.
COVID was so good for me because I was forced to not work. Like I was working every single day, like shooting every single day, new people, like call times, like 4 a.m., flying. My life was crazy. And I think back to it now because last week I had 4 jobs and I was like, I'm exhausted. How the heck did I do this every day, shoot every day for years? Yeah. So it's now just really listen to my body. I say no. It's powerful to say no. Yes, okay, I might miss out on money, but my self-worth, my health, that's my number one priority.
And in terms of reducing the head noise, what tools, like is it therapy? Is it meditating? Like what has actually helped you quiet that voice in your mind?
Yeah, so that's like the journaling. Mm. It's been so transformative for me. Meditation as well. I've done an Ayurvedic meditation course and they kind of talk about the different layers you have. So the more times you meditate, you're just letting go of those layers. So the first few times are really difficult, but the more you go with it, the better it becomes. And truly that's where I found my biggest, those moments of aha happen when I meditate, like starting the podcast, doing the gratitude journal, even like, you know, today I'm doing a reshoot for the journals because they're coming up for pre-sale. I came up with that idea when I was meditating. If you don't have stillness, you just keep going on with your life day to day, hamster on a wheel. But when you take those moments, you're like, have those aha. No, I can do better. I can be better.
You're like more connected to source, I feel
oh
like, as well.
Oh, my God. I love that.
It's so interesting because I meditate a lot and I find it funny when I speak to people and they're like, I could never meditate. It's just, you know, it's not for me. I could never turn my thoughts off. I'm like, that is precisely why you need to meditate. You don't turn your thoughts off at all. They're still there, but you just learn to kind of sit with them and be present so you can connect to something bigger than yourself. Yeah, it's so powerful. And I also like, I don't know if it was Eckhart Tolle, he said that you sit behind yourself when you meditate. Rather than being in your mind, you're behind your mind, like looking at what's going on.
I think as well with meditation is people think, oh, I'll never be able to sit for 20 minutes. But, you know, start with a few minutes. Mm. Start with some breaths. Like download Calm app. We on the Self Dom Pod have guided meditations, Self-Love Thursday episodes. Like just, it's 5 minutes. Like everyone has 5 minutes.
Exactly. I think if you don't have 5 minutes, you've got bigger problems. You need to be able to give that care to yourself.
But the thing is, this is my thing.
You do have 5 minutes.
Yeah. Like I like to be, oh, some people are no, you do have 5 minutes.
Everyone
look at your screen time.
Yeah.
Like just you do have 5 minutes.
And like you make 2 minutes time in the morning to brush your teeth and 2 minutes at night, you can do the same for meditating. That's how important I think it should be as well.
100%.
You mentioned before that your beautiful mum is navigating stage 4 cancer. Mm. Can you tell me a little bit about what that journey has been like?
Yeah, well, my mom was diagnosed in 2020, so nearly 4 years now, with rectal cancer. Mm-hmm. And she did chemo, radiation, and they said she was cancer-free. Of course, it came back. So then she did the chemo and everything. She lost her hair. And then a few months later, it just spread everywhere. So she had a really big surgery. Mm-hmm. They removed colon, bowel, appendix, uterus, spleen. Like a lot of.
That's huge.
Yeah. She was in surgery for 11 hours.
Oh, gosh.
She had a 6-week recovery in hospital, but she wanted to get to my brother's wedding and he just got married.
I saw you guys all made it there.
Yeah, in Italy. She made it. So now she's battling stage 4 lung cancer. So she hasn't had an easy run. But as I said, she's my biggest inspiration. And her fight is what I think about in those moments where I'm like, complaining about dumb things. I actually had a self-dom event the other day and 2 girls came up to me and they said, we really resonate with your story, with your mum. And they said, we really struggle when our friends complain about the small things. And I said, your mum will be so grateful that you've taken this message and that you have a level of awareness. We do gratitude every morning in our WhatsApp group. So even on the darkest days, mum found something to be grateful. And with the journey with mum, I feel so lucky that she's quite a positive person. Mm-hmm. She's got so much zest for life. Like she'll be the first one up and dancing. And, you know, always what she says is have fun, have fun. Like that's her biggest thing. Mm-hmm. So journey has been tough. I'm not going to lie to you. But as a family, we're so united. Mm-hmm. We're so strong. She is having a clinical trial at the moment, which we've had positive results, touch wood. So, you know, she's got the fight. And it shows me the power of the mind.
Yeah, huge. What do you mean by that?
Like, she wants to be here.
Mm.
The fact that she's here is pretty mind-blowing.
Totally.
With what she's been through.
Totally.
Like, she can't get a break, but she wants to be here. She is telling her body, you're sticking around.
Yes, it's not my time yet.
Yeah.
What other sort of modalities? Because I imagine you're so wellness focused and I know your boyfriend is as well, and she must be spending time with you guys. Are there any things that you're doing to try and support her through this as well?
Yeah, so she's definitely doing saunas now, which she's never done before, and lifting weights with my PT, Giannis, but she's doing treatment. So you're not allowed to take any supplements. Like, there's a lot of rules when you're doing treatment. Mm-hmm. So she's not doing as many modalities as I would like, but she doesn't have sugar. She doesn't have wine. Wow. Like, we had a big event with all her friends on the weekend. Mm-hmm. She didn't have any wine. Like, she's really strict on those things, because the really hard thing is, you know, I'll probably get hate on this, but when she was in hospital, she's lost a lot of weight, mm-hmm. because it's really hard on her body. And she, her stomach shrunk so much. So the doctor said, we want you to eat fast food and ice cream. And I said to Mum, I know I'm not a doctor, but you can get really calorie dense meals if you add peanut healthy butter, fats, avocado, have a shot of olive oil.
Coconut oil.
Have a shot of it, like drink it if you want to put on weight. So I was really upset that that is the doctor's advice. Again, I get it. She really needs to put on weight because the treatment is hard on her body. But I just wish there was a little bit more nutrition knowledge in the health space. Like, even when she was in hospital, the food they give them, it's the worst of the worst.
It's kind of mind-blowing that there isn't. Like, I'm also not anti-medicine. I have a lot of medical practitioners in my family, but my friend who's a doctor, she's in her like fourth or fifth year of study, said the only nutrition study they did at all was like a 40-minute lecture once a week for 4 weeks in her second year. And that was it. I'm like, people do whole degrees on nutrition and the power of food and the body. It's hard to understand.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, with Mum, we're trying as hard. Like, she's really into it. I give her all my Robin Sharma books. Like, she loves it. She has gratitude every day. Like, she's doing the meditation. So she's doing what she can.
Yeah.
And when she's out the other end of treatment, I'm sure she'll dive into like the supplements, the juicing and all of that.
Totally. So are your parents still together?
Yes.
How long have they been together for?
Oh, my God. They're going to kill me for not knowing. But a very – in the 40 years.
Maybe. Wow. So you grew up around like a beautiful, healthy relationship, I'm assuming. Now you're also in a beautiful, healthy relationship. What is the key, do you think? What's the secret that helps relationships last?
Get a dog. No.
I don't have a dog, so maybe I should get one.
I mean, I would say the number one thing is communication. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hear it all the time, but – well and truly, like, if there's something on your mind, say it. Tom always says, Dom, you're so, like, black and white. Like, you literally just say it as it is.
Yep.
But I would rather say it and it not become an elephant in the room. Mm. And it's been really good for us. We meditate together. We do gratitude together. Last night we played board games. Like, we don't watch TV. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, some people probably listening, ah, boring. But these are things that have worked for us.
Yeah.
I always say that planning is a good thing. It doesn't take away the spice. Like, last night, because of my diet, like, we can't go out for date night. But we just said, like, dinner at home together.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be together. No phones. Like, put it in the diary. Like,
perfect.
Stick to it. If it's not in the diary, it doesn't happen. We all know that. So I think planning is super important. I think discipline really gives you freedom. And
exactly.
Both Tom and I are very disciplined people. So that helps as well. We set time aside, like, first of all, communicate it, and then we stick to it. So that's been really powerful for us.
Amazing. I think people hear these things and they think, like, that's so stale. And, like, I don't want to ruin, the spice or the magic in my relationship. I remember my partner and I, we decided we were going to do 6-month and 12-month, like, reviews, like a business meeting, sit down and be like, how are we going? How are our goals going? Because also we were long distance. So it was like, if we don't plan where we're going to be in 6 months, it's not going to work. And at the start, the first like few we did felt very clunky, but now we're like, no, we look forward to them because we get to sit down and talk about like what's important to you, what could
I
do more of.
Maybe we'll do this.
It's amazing. It's so good. And
that's
feel
great.
Like you go into the next like stage knowing, okay, I know what's important to you, what you're building towards, and like you know what's important to me and how are we going to do it, plan of attack.
I think as well, like when you go for a walk, like don't talk about just surface level stuff. Like you guys have committed to these deep conversations. Like go deep with your partner.
Yeah,
like
what do you want in your life?
And, ask the hard questions. Like if you're not going to say it out loud is so powerful as well. And like you should trust your partner. You should want to build together. It's so crazy because being with him, like we're talking about one day buying our forever home and one day, and I'm like, my God, it's crazy talking about these things, but you have to. Like if you want to buy a place, 3 years, you have to talk about how that is going to be possible. Like, yes. I think communication is key. I'm going to take that 6 month yearly.
It's so cool.
Every financial year. Match.
Every quarter.
Yeah. So
it's
good.
So nice because we actually write, like, they're called agreements. So I heard this on another podcast. What are our agreements of our relationship? They're not rules. They're like, we agree to prioritize each other once a week for date night, or we agree to always speak honestly, even if it's really hard and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then we look back 6 months later and we're like, did we actually stick to our agreements, or have we completely let that one go out the window? And then it's kind of like a little guideline. I love it.
I think as well, some women would be, I don't know your audience, but I'm assuming it's women.
Mostly women, yeah.
They'd be thinking, my partner would never agree to that. But you got to, like, warm them up to it, you know, little bit here and there, or getting like those Esther Perel cards and like just getting them, get them a little bit more open to having deep conversations. Because I know your partner and Tom, my partner Tom, they seem a bit more rare that they do this.
A bit more spiritual.
But, you know, if you've got one of those really bloke guys, like, they will let their walls down.
And if it's important to you, then it should be important. 100%. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure those things that your partner does that you don't like, that you have to kind of compromise on. So if it's important, you'll make it work.
And stick it on the fridge.
Yeah, I love
guys
that.
Guys need to see it. They're visual.
In front of them.
Yeah.
But it's just about, I think, finding someone who has the same values and habits and enjoys the same things. Like you said, you guys play board games. Some couples wouldn't like that. You guys obviously do. So it's just
I mean, get Monopoly deal and you'll love it.
That's competitive.
It's so good.
Very competitive.
And we'll bet things like.
Nice.
You know.
Like, buy dinner.
Yeah, like, you have to cook me dinner tomorrow night. Yeah. So, like, there's something on the line, but it's cute and it's like, nice.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. We'll wrap up shortly. I'm wondering, just tying it back to where we started, I'm sure there are a lot of young models that look up to you and kind of see you as someone who's balancing professional life, personal life really, really well. You're very connected to yourself. I guess if someone's early on their journey, what advice would you give to them?
I think it's so important to just back yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's where the work really plays. Like, doing that self-work at a young age is going to help you back yourself. Like, if you want it, you can achieve it. I think for my journey, I always wanted to walk a runway and I always got told you're too short.
Wow.
And this year I did. I walked at Fashion Week in two shows and none of my old agents would let me cast. And this year they let me cast and I got two shows and it's like, I backed myself. I believe in myself. I said, I'm going to walk a runway. Affirmations are powerful as well. Like, if you want to get into modeling, you need to believe it. You need to walk into that casting like you have already got it. And also, if you don't get it, keep your head held high. Brands want to work with people who are confident, assured of themselves. Like, I know a lot of girls who get the job because brands want to work with their personality.
Yeah.
It's a big part of it now. So embrace you and also use social media. I think it's so important. I think so many models aren't using social media because they want to just be super high-end and but if you're not there yet, use social media, do test shoots, share what you're doing. Like, agents aren't going to push you because often they don't. Mm-hmm. Push yourself. Take initiative. I have conversations with my book. I'm very like, I want this.
Yes.
And I speak to my agents and they're like, not many girls are like that. They don't know what they want. They don't know like how to get their face in front of clients. If you want to work for, say, Beckenbridge, buy a Beckenbridge dress, put it on, take some cute photos. It's never been a better time to show your face to the brands you dream to work with.
That's really amazing advice. Mm. Yes. And like, we have these tools in our pocket that help us build businesses, build personal brands. So many people just are kind of sleeping on that. So I feel like that's really important.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to end this episode as I do with all my episodes. I ask every guest the same question. You can interpret it however you like. You can answer in as many or as little words as you like. But that question is, Dom, what is the meaning of life?
Whoa!
Wow.
Oh my gosh. I think to serve. And I think people have forgotten that.
Who do you want to serve in your life?
As many people as I can. If I could serve all 8 billion and be a positive impact to 8 billion people, like, I mean, that would be the dream. But I feel like, yeah, to send a positive message, to serve and to stop being so caught up in our own little worlds, because life is so, meaning of life is so much more than that.
Well, I think you're definitely on your way. You're doing such amazing work. I really admire your wellness content. You're inspiring. You're so real. You're so down to earth and you're so lovely. So thank you for giving me your time and for sharing, all the little insights and wisdom that you've gained along the way.
Oh, thank you so much. You're amazing.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Please let me know who you'd love me to chat to next. Or if you have a story of your own you'd like to share, you can connect with me directly on Instagram at LifeChatsPodcast, one word. Until next time, I'm Georgia May, and this is Life Chats.